Thanks very much for the invitation. Maybe two quick remarks to start off. I don't really talk much about the BC experience so much, nor do I have the 60-page research paper in the background that Annie mentioned in the beginning. So it is truly explorative what I do, as the title suggests. And maybe just as a mode of introduction, I tell you a little bit where I come from and how my interest in social economy grew. Over the last 3 years, I've been involved in an international project looking from a comparative Canadian-European perspective at the labour market inclusion of highly skilled immigrants. And what we did essentially at the core methodologically was to conduct narrative interviews up to 3 hours to have them talk about their lives and their experience once they've been in the country for 4 or 5 years. And one thing that was striking, and that brings me to the topic of today, was to see that normally we are trained to think about the relationship between the immigrant and the labor market as one, there is this isolated individual that has to cope with the labor market forces, expectations, the rules, the legal provisions, and so forth. And we were to a certain extent surprised to find out that indeed most of those whom we interviewed heavily relied on forms of community integration, be it community organization that provided help and transition, be it the family community that provide all the information, because often they came to the country without much knowledge, and how they proceeded in trying to orient themselves in the new society and to promote the labor market inclusion. It was often heavily shaped by some form of communal integration, and in more theoretical terms, what would you describe what would be the need for social capital, for a network of people that promote eventually inclusion to the labor market. And from this perspective, I would like to explore the links in a way between the social and economic inclusion of immigrants and the role that the social economy could play here. And maybe Annie and Stuart, you're going to tell me, no, that's all wrong. But I just throw it out there and we see how far it's we can actually take this link. And essentially, I would like to address two questions. One would be to say, in a very straightforward way, what role could social economy play in promoting the socioeconomic inclusion of newcomers? That would be, what role could cooperatives play as economic actors, but also in a more broader sense, that a more robust role of a social economy as a community-oriented approach to managing the economy, what role could the social economy play? And then the second role that might be simply a bit more controversial would be to suggest that what we see actually in immigrant and, as you suggested, to call them culture communities, we might find patterns that are very similar to what's happening in the social economy without them being labeled as such. But what we might find is, that's what I want to suggest, is that immigrant communities often reproduce some of those patterns, practices, and also the normative expectations that we normally associate with the social economy. And indeed, there might be a good reason to argue that those communities can learn from what the social economy has done relatively successfully over the last decades. To come to the first point, the more straightforward one, would be to say, one would essentially be, and that's the example of the bank, indeed, that the social economy cooperatives would be very conducive to promoting labor market inclusion of newcomers, because they're driven by other kinds of concerns than only profitability. And so there is, if you want, a greater openness here to promote, in particular, the first, or help in the transition from coming into the country and finding a professional career. But also, if you look, and that's what you alluded to, Annie, before, the whole settlement industry or sector that we have in Canada is very much driven, if you think about it, in terms of the outsourcing of what governments do, they outsource many of those services and give them to community-based groups and associations. And if we see how they operate, we might see indeed that what drives their agenda and their commitment to immigrants, we might actually find similar structures there that in a way reproduce some of the fundamental commitments and practices of social community and reproduce them in the settlement sector. And I talk about, you know, you're all aware, and you know, Jean, you might address this, indeed, you know, the services of, you know, giving them the skills, you know, the knowledge, also the kind of network to pursue a professional career is very much moderated through the settlement sector. And, you know, we might see here patterns evolve that are very much, you know, community driven by other expectations, but profitability, and, you know, a support structure that somewhat replicates what we find in the social economy. And you can go one step further. There is, and, you know, what I've seen from other research, there's evidence that also employing newcomers in the settlement sector also provides, if you want, a vehicle, a support structure also for later launches of enterprises driven by immigrants themselves. You know, they get the expertise, you know, the network, they meet the people, and from there they feel empowered to actually also engage in entrepreneurial activities. So in a way, the whole settlement industry and the network it provides, that it might be conducive to promoting then also entrepreneurial initiatives in the long run. So you could see here, then it might move into the private sector, but initially, you know, it is a very strong, if you want, community-oriented network that helps to promote the labor market inclusion of newcomers. The second aspect here, I want to focus on how much more time do I have? Okay, great. The second aspect is, you know, to look at actually immigrant communities themselves. And there is, and that's something that I addressed in my research a little bit, there is a whole literature, as you might know, about the role of, you know, they're called ethnic niche economies, or, you know, if you want, community or ethnic businesses. And if you look at those, you could indeed argue that what we find here is similar patterns in terms of the normative commitment towards those who engage in this. If you think about the social economy, probably the driving normative principle is fairness, social justice. You know, I'm not sure whether I'm oversimplifying, but one of the crucial elements here is not only, you know, making profit, but, you know, concerns about, you know, empowering individuals and a fair and equitable work environment. Let me put it like this. And if you look at what happens sometimes in bigger immigrant communities in urban centers, it might replace the fairness as, you know, the normative principle, and replace it by something that you could call ethnic solidarity. So you hire people not so much based on the notion that, you know, they might maximize your profit, but, you know, because you have a commitment and you want to help these newcomers because they're part of your group and so forth. So you see principles of organizing economic or professional life that are different from market principles. I'm not sure for how far you can take this, but what you see here is also similar in both cases, in the socio-economy sector and also in those community-driven, the ethnic niche business sector, forms of commitment to the community and to somewhat, you know, self sufficient and, you know, self-empowering forms of community building. However, and, you know, we have to be aware that on the one hand, indeed, what we found in our research, sometimes these ethnic businesses and, you know, sectors can be quite conducive for allowing immigrants to find particularly the first employment. We all heard about how difficult it is without Canadian work experience, you know, the degrees are not being recognized and so forth. So what you need is a network into which you can tap into. Partly, you could take it this far to say, maybe also as something that replaces, you know, the more market-driven mainstream economy in different forms of employment, in different forms of collaboration, cooperatives. Or you could argue that these ethnic businesses and, you know, the ethnic sector or ethnic economy works as a kind of a transition. You know, you get into the sector, and you might then, after a while of having gained experiences and found a network, come to the transition into the mainstream economy and take a professional position there. However, there's also the very risk, and that, you know, then very much violates the principles that we associate with the social economy in terms of fairness and just working conditions, that these ethnic businesses become, if you want, a vehicle for reproducing forms of exploitation and marginalization, because the idea of social economy is also some form of democratic participation and how it is organized, right? You become a member and part of the decision-making process. What we often unfortunately also find in these ethnic niche business and economies is a rather hierarchical structure, and one in which you can, as in particular as a lower skilled immigrant, very quickly get into a cycle of in a kind of exploitative form of occupation, dequalification that doesn't allow you to in the end make the step into the mainstream economy and find a position that might be adequate for your qualification. So there is some ambivalence in terms of how this works out, but I just want to allude your attention to this to different principles of promoting and organizing employment and work that we might find similar structures in terms of forms of solidarity, community building, support for individuals, in particular in this very difficult transition period from arriving in the country and starting your professional career. And so in this respect, I think I can see a good match, let me put like this in conclusion, for the social economy to play a far more explicit and robust role in creating these support structures for immigrants that are often not competitive on the market, that need to catch up, that need to have the skills and so forth, and that often need, if you want, a different form of labor market to allow entry into the labor force. And here I see great potential, a greater role for a social economy to play, as long as, and that might refer to the point I made in terms of the ambivalent results of the ethnic niche businesses and economy, as long as some of these fundamental values in terms of just, equitable access to work and the whole organization of the mode of employment is guarded, and that these sacrosanct principles of the social economy are kept in place. I